Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and the Keystone Sports app. Dustin Hawkinsmith here with Greg Pickle. Todd Sadowski from Fox 43, so graceful to join us today. Talking a lot of Penn State recruiting as we're looking ahead to 2019 a little bit. I'm curious about the footprint of the class. And we were talking off air about whether Penn State's behind or not, what the class size, what we expect it to be, how the new roles change. Try to put this together a little bit. The footprint in particular, looking more at a national level, especially in a cycle where the state of Pennsylvania does not have its best collection of talent this class. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. Some staff changes that get encouraged that. I want to look at trends and things like that at the tight end position, which is a position of note on the 2018 team and what they've been able to do, what they're looking for at that position on the recruiting trail. Ask Greg, of course. We'll also feature some Ask Todd, your Penn State football and recruiting questions, I assume. And then we'll close out the show today with Penn State wrestling. Second place at the Big Ten Championships. They are going full speed ahead to NCAA's. Brandon Pelter will join us to talk about Lions wrestling. And just to start us off in 2019 recruiting, Greg, two commitments so far. What do we expect the class size to be? Not very large.
15, 16, 17. I just don't see how the numbers shake out for them to have any more than that. They just have a very – because of where they were when James Franklin got here – there was a point where there were a lot of guys leaving the program, and that meant they were able to bring in a lot of guys. You saw 23, 24, 25. Now you're getting towards the fact where that roster turnover comes back the other way, and now you don't have many guys leaving. Now, granted, Penn State did lose a lot to the NFL draft this past year, but they also brought in a big signing class, and they are in a position now where they'll have some guys leave again after the 2018 season, no question about that. But it just doesn't look like there'll be that many of them, barring a lot of juniors leaving early, guys transferring in a higher number than usual, something like that. I would say, looking at it right now, somewhere between 15 and 17 makes sense. If they got it to 20, I think that would be – I can't see it getting any higher than that outside of some kind of crazy abnormal attrition. It just doesn't make sense from a numbers perspective how Penn State could possibly lose that many players to bring in 20 new guys. Now, we've seen it happen across college football, so it's possible, but I would say 15 is maybe the floor. 20 might be the hard-to-reach ceiling. Somewhere in the middle probably makes the most sense. Again, things happen. Attrition happens. But I just don't – the way the numbers shake out right now, it's hard to see them getting any less than 15 or any more than 20.
And it's great to talk football. I'm out of hibernation is what it is, Dustin.
Okay.
You know, January and February, just kind of worst months of the year, right? They're behind us in the rearview mirror. It's great to hear Greg talking recruiting and class sizes and all this stuff. And basically, what I think it comes down to is you got a quality over quantity issue, right? I mean, you always want quality. That's the key. You want a quality. But when you don't have the quantity, you better make sure that you've got the quality. And, you know, for the staff and some new staff members, I think it's evaluation time. I mean, it's always interesting when the blue-white game gets a little bit closer and you see how guys have kind of physically transformed themselves a little bit with the weight room and all the workouts in the winter and position changes and that type of stuff. So I think a lot of the coaching staff, and maybe why they're a little bit slower to get commitments, might be because they want to make sure they know what positions they got to fill. You know, they've moved some guys, tight end spot, who's going to fill in for Gesicki? They've moved Lamont Wade to safety. The entire secondary has to be filled up. I mean, we've talked, you know, linebackers. I mean, there's a lot of question mark position groups that maybe that will, you know, kind of spur them to move forward with certain recruits over others.
And I think, you know, to be fair, a lot of this stuff factors into why just the two commitments so far. The need and probably the desire to pump the brakes, maybe for kid. There might have been a kid or two behind the scenes who might have been felt ready to commit where James Franklin didn't accept it yet. The new rules come into play. You mentioned the blue-white game. That is going to be a much bigger recruiting event than ever now going forward. And I do have to think that with that in mind, maybe a lot of stuff in the first quarter of the calendar year is going to slow down as your as kids can start taking official visits in the spring. You know, why commit to a place in February when you can have some trips paid for in April, May, and really see more stuff with your own eyes?
Not only that, but I think you're going to find schools slow it down too. So schools are going to say, okay, we have this new period in January. Not a new period. It's been around for a long time. But you sign most of your class in December, which Penn State, I think, is always going to try and do, and everyone's going to eventually do. And then you say, okay, this time in January we used to spend recruiting 20 of the current cycle guys. Now we're going to spend it recruiting maybe 25 to 30 of our top-of-the-line targets in the next class and hope that we can get our foot far enough in the door to get an official visit. So you might not cast as wide of a net as schools have in the past during that time or earlier than that in the next couple cycles, because you're aiming to get a good enough relationship with these top-of-the-line kids so that you're able to earn an official visit trip from them after you extend the invitation along with an offer. So I think you're going to see it slow down on both sides. And you know, we saw, you know, the ones I always think of as February commitments, Ryan Bates, Jarvis Miller. There's been plenty of others, but those two always come to mind because they were James Franklin's first. You know, I don't know how common that's going to be. Now, granted, you're going to get years where, like Ryan Bates was, like Jarvis Miller was, they didn't want to go anywhere else. They wanted to go to Penn State. Penn State offered them, and that was that. There was nothing else to see. Let's move it forward to this year, though. Andre White, the very good linebacker at Harrisburg High, has a Penn State offer, has 9 offers, was just named the opening regional MVP out in San Francisco. You say to yourself, why is a kid from Harrisburg out at the opening regional in San Francisco? Well, he wanted to see USC. He wanted to see Cal. He wanted to see UCLA. None of those schools have offered yet. Most of them won't offer unless you make the effort to come out and see them. So he went out on his own dime. He's doing that camp, the LA opening regional, next weekend. And in the middle, he's visiting these schools. And you're going to see kids start to do this too. Maybe not to that extreme of going from the East Coast to the West Coast, but kids are going to find a way to go to schools that maybe they wouldn't have in the past to maybe earn an offer to then have a chance to do the official visit thing either in the spring up until it's April 1st to June 26th or in the fall. So I think it's going to slow things down a little bit. You'll get commitments quicker come you know, the summer. I think you're going to see a rapid fire commitment season in the summer because kids are going to take their official visit and then make their decision. But these other guys, I think you're going to see them slow things down. The ones that maybe want to look more regionally, more nationally, you're going to see them slow things down, take a lot of unofficial visits if they're able to, and then that will help them set up the official visit cycle for the fall.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show talking some Penn State recruiting in the 2019 class. 2 commitments so far. Not a big class for Penn State. And what got me thinking about footprint, I think over the last cycle or two, you've seen a step or two, maybe quietly, towards becoming a little bit more national in their recruiting. They've attempted to do that. They've maybe capitalized on the brand a little bit. You think about the 2 kids from Texas in the 18 class, for example. They're getting into Florida a little bit more. KJ Hamler came from Florida, from IMG. Now you add Jawan Sider to the mix as a running backs coach with a lot of connections. Seems to be a really well-liked guy, both from recruits and the guys that the people he has relationships with in the state of Florida. And a lot of people are looking at that, especially with a rash of offers to the state of Florida, and saying, okay, what's Penn State trying to be? You know, and I think you're foolish if you bring a guy in and you don't capitalize on all of his strengths. But are you really going to make headway in the state of Florida just by adding this one guy? And I think the answer might be, okay, if you're on the national scene for a third year in a row, you got an ace recruiter who has a lot of connections in the state of Florida, I think anything is within the realm of possibility.
And that's the fascinating part of the byproduct of their success. I mean, you know, Greg just mentioned guys going west to visit schools. You're going to see guys from the west coming east to visit Penn State. Yep. What is going on in Happy Valley? Why are, you know, we talked about the importance of the strength and conditioning results that, you know, people that saw the performances by Barkley and Gesicki at the combine. And we're going to go check this out. What are they doing there that's different, you know, that's yielding different results than maybe some other schools? And it's a very different pitch when you say, hey, we won 7 wins, but we're on the cusp of something big here. And then to say, hey, we are, you know, 11 wins back to back, or whatever you want to, you know, whatever you want to say when you're sitting there, it's a different pitch when you're talking to the kids.
If you give James Franklin that kind of ammo, like if he's had unquestioned success. Not hey, you did well for Vanderbilt, or oh, hey, you did well for the situation you're in at Penn State. If you give him national caliber success, a Big Ten title, 2 years in a row where you're really stride for stride and just on the outside looking in for that top four, the playoff, it's almost unfair because he is such a relatable guy to 17 and 18-year-olds, such a relatable guy to high school coaches, well-liked, can sell, knows what he has to sell. I think he's a real believer in all the other stuff Penn State has to sell. But if you're giving him this kind of thing, really, I don't care what's happening with his assistant coaches or his staff or how that evolves. You're not taking any one guy out of the mix, a Charles Huff or Josh Gattis, and being like, oh, well, I'm not sure if they'll be able to recruit. They will always be able to recruit, and he's selling progress now, Greg. And I think if you're looking to get a little bit more national, that might be the number one thing of all.
If Jawan Sider made a pipeline from Florida to West Virginia, I'm thinking he'll probably make one from Florida to Penn State. I mean, it's nothing against West Virginia, but let's be honest. I'm pretty sure if you went back and looked at West Virginia's roster before Jawan Sider got there and you looked at it now, the Florida impact would be significant, and that just didn't happen by mistake. And it wasn't that Florida kids just decided that they wanted to go see what Morgantown was like. So I think that what you see is this guy has great connections. He has great ability to recruit, make families comfortable no matter where he's at. And Penn State loves Southern speed. There's no question about that. So I think you're going to see them maybe not every year, maybe not make all the inroads, but I think you're going to see them, you know, consistently get a few guys out of the Sunshine State each year. Maybe not so much this year, because we talked about how specific they have to be, at least early on in this class, wait out some top targets, things like that. But when they get to a point where they have some size to expand the class and it gets to 2025, I think you're going to see 2 to 3 guys out of Florida each and every year.
You mentioned making the families comfortable, too, and I think that's an underrated part about it. And, Dustin, you mentioned he's relatable to 17- and 18-year-olds. I would say continue that. He's relatable to 17- and 18-year-olds and their parents. And,
probably, you know, more so the parents than anybody.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And that, Miles Sanders comes to mind as won over mom, and you got the kid. Mm-hmm. You know, and to give the feeling of trust, that the commitment that parents are making – to send their kid off for 4 or 5 years, I think it's important that they know and they can feel and they can trust and they believe that the best things are going to happen to their kid. James Franklin has sold that. I think you cannot say that he hasn't delivered it either. So what he's selling out there is not the snake oil salesman people painted him to be when he was leaving Vanderbilt and all that stuff. He's selling it, and I think you have to say that he's delivering it. We're going to keep talking recruiting. We're going to take a short break here. Look at the tight end position. Continue our series at what Penn State is trying to do and what they've gotten done on the recruiting trail.
Hi, this is Scott Shirley, Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes. I'd like to personally invite you to join us for a very special event. Coach James Franklin will be coming to Stocks Manor in Mechanicsburg on Thursday evening, March 15th. Come hear Coach Franklin speak about building a winning team and learn more about the work that Uplifting Athletes is doing for the rare disease community. There will be appetizers, drinks, and photo opportunities. Please go to upliftingathletes.org where you can register for tickets. We hope to see you there.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.